Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of London. We have our divine service every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and I'd like to invite you to come along and attend a worship service with us. But if you live down in the Medway towns, we also meet the first Sunday of each month at 3 o'clock at the Evangelical Free Church on Widmore Road in Raynham, Kent, or if you live up in the Glasgow area. I also serve as vacancy pastor for the St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride, Scotland, and they meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Again, I'd like to invite you to attend any of those services. But if you don't live in those areas, why not go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory, find the nearest Lutheran church to where you live, go and pay them a visit. I know you will receive a warm welcome. As always, I'd like to thank you for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio. Without your prayers, without your generous contributions, we would not be able to carry on the work of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to people around the world. Again, we are extremely grateful to you for your prayers and for your gifts. Go and check out all of our other podcasts, not only the Lutheran Inquisitor, but all the programs that we have on offer. You can go to our archives area and click on the show and pick a podcast you'd like to download or listen to. And again, we appreciate all of those folks who listen to our podcasts. We today are continuing our conversation with Dr. Christoph Barnbrock. Dr. Barnbrock is the rector of the Hochschule, the seminary of the Evangelical Free Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany in Oberursel. Recently, Dr. Barnbrock gave a paper on what is Lutheran identity in a post-Christian context. Welcome back, Dr. Barnbrock.
Oh, thank you so much.
Last week, you were talking about three sort of modern phenomena, acceleration, patterns, and metamorphosis as part of our sociological context in which we live and in our post-Christian world. Can you maybe just give us a quick rundown on those before we start talking about Lutherans and Lutheran identity?
So those are three observations where we find answers. What are the main issues which are forming our society right now? So the first would be acceleration, that everything becomes faster and faster, and that we get more and more under pressure. For example, in our job lives, everything has to be more and more efficient, and that there is less and less time for the real important things in life, for example, for faith. And so worship services are something very special because there you have time. That's the first thing. The second thing would be patterns. So that is kind of what we experience when we are online. There are patterns behind what we are doing there all over the world, which we enter in our online issues. So there's nothing which is just by chance, but there are patterns. And actually the human being is a very special thing, because we are at some point much more fallible than the machines are. So that would be the second issue. And the third one would be metamorphosis, that we are living in a world of radical changes, not just small changes which have been existent all over the years and centuries, but that they are really radical changes we experience in our time.
And you talk about how all of these have their effect on our identity. And you talked about identity as a recent phenomenon brought about by crisis. Again, can you maybe just give us a very brief synopsis of that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if there's no crisis, if there's no reason to think about who I am and who I should be, then obviously I wouldn't think about that. But in that moment when things change and probably other people ask, why are you doing that, how you do that, then I start thinking, and then the issue of identity is just on the table.
Well, let's get on the table then. You talked in your paper about Lutheran identity. So I suppose the question then, we've talked about identity, but what do you mean by Lutheran? Because if you ask a lot of Lutherans, you might very well get different answers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are different approaches we could choose. So the first would be a rather formal one to say Lutheran identity means that we are based on the Holy Scripture and that we are guided by the Book of Concord. So the Lutheran confessions are the appropriate interpretation of the Word of God. So that would be a first formal step to define what Lutheran identity is about. People, groups, churches who are bound to this set of authorities.
So these authorities, again, a lot of people might not understand why they are so important to Lutherans. Can you perhaps help us understand that?
Of course. I mean, the Holy Scriptures are important because of that reason, that God himself speaks through them, not only to the people long time ago, but also to us in our days. So that is why the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, why those books are so important. And for Lutherans, so the Lutheran confessions are important, not because they are kind of an addition to what is written in the Bible, but because Lutherans believe and have experienced that what is written in the Lutheran confessions is the appropriate interpretation of the Bible, and which has been a help not to trap into failures which should be avoided.
And then in your paper, you go on to describe a number of things that actually help form Lutheran identity. I wonder if we could spend a little bit of time on those. And one of the first ones you talk about is liturgy. Now, again, that may be a new term for a lot of people. What do you mean by liturgy, and how does that help form a Lutheran identity?
Actually, I think that is something which many people already have experienced, that if you have been raised as a Christian person, and if you gather together in worship services on a more or less regular basis, and then you move to a different place and visit a different worship service, then many people experience that it's somehow different what they experience there, that the service has a different style or shape. And by that, you can experience how much what you believe and how you live as Christian is actually shaped by how you worship on Sunday mornings. So what you believe and what you pray has to do with each other.
And when you say that, how does that work out? Can you maybe give us some practical examples of what you've just talked about?
If I talk to my students in class about that, I always say, for example, that the Holy Communion is something very special. People not only recognize by what you say, for example, in the sermon, but also how you handle everything while preparing everything for Holy Communion, how you distribute the elements of the consecrated bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. You get an idea of what's happening there just by the way how everything is dealt with.
And then you move on to talk about Lutheran identity in ecumenical circles, where I heard you give this paper. It was a meeting of seminary teachers from around the world. So very, very appropriate. But can you help us to, again, see how our identity in ecumenical circles can be shaped, and how we can maybe be salt and light, and how we can also learn from others?
I think it's important to talk about what ecumenical does mean, actually, in this context. And for me, this the idea is very important, that it's not all about me being a single Christian. And it's not even about us being a single congregation. And it's not only about us being a church in a specific country, but church is always more. Church is being connected with lots of Christians, with lots of congregations, and even with Christians throughout the time, starting through the ages with all the faithful people in the Bible. And that is, I think, an important fact, especially in our globalized world today, that we don't try to solve our problems by ourselves, but that we more and more learn that being a Christian, being a Lutheran, means to be connected with other people. And what I was trying to say at that conference, where we were gathered together with people from all continents, or at least almost all continents, that we need each other when we talk about Lutheran identity. I want to learn from my brothers and sisters in Africa how they look upon specific issues we are dealing with, and probably can help them as well if we talk with them about our experiences, which might be helpful for them as well.
And this also has a wider context as well, not just amongst Lutherans, but you also mentioned the importance of engaging with other Christian denominations and bodies.
We are not saying that there are no Christian people beyond the borders of Lutheran churches, and we should see what we can do together, what we can learn from each other, and of course, dealing with the issues which are still we are still not consenting in. So that would be another challenge, but it should be a challenge, and should be nothing where we say, hey, those are them and we are we, but Christians are called to find ways to talk to each other and to find solutions for the problems we still have.
Perhaps that's becoming even more of a real problem in a culture which is completely turning its back on Christian ideals and teachings.
Exactly. I always say I'm thankful and grateful for everybody who teaches Jesus Christ in this country. Doesn't matter from which denomination, because it's really, we are in need of that. So that is the most important thing. And then we still have to deal with all the issues where we do not agree on, at least yet.
Speaking of Christ, you talk then about how Christ is really at the heart of Lutheran identity, the anthropology and justification in Christ. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is, it's obvious that that Christ is everything in Lutheran theology. And always, if you get the impression that it's not like that, then you really should think about if your theology is really on the right track. So Christ is the center, because he has done everything for us, and that what he has done is sufficient for our relationship between us and God. I think it's very helpful to think about what it means to have Christ in the center, especially in the discussion with those new theories of our societies. Because what Hartmut Rosa, one of the sociologists in Germany, which is pretty prominent right now, is describing, he says that by accelerating, the society leads the single person to the point that he's always, always, always dealing with what he has to do. And every single person experiences more and more that he is not sufficient in what he needs to do. And if we then proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ really did everything we need to do so that we are just in the face of our Heavenly Father, then this is really a great message, which is something our world needs.
So it sounds like you're sort of describing, Dr. Barnbrock, what Luther might call the fact that humans are always turned in on themselves. They're very focused in on themselves, and that's really at the heart of sin.
Exactly, and that's actually something many people experience and realize today without defining that as sin, but that people realize that it's all about them. I think that's something many people would agree to.
And maybe it even goes back to the internet where, you know, we're never satisfied with the amount of followers we have, or we always think they don't like us, or maybe that's why we have to put on all these fake items about us.
Yeah, exactly. And we present ourselves more or less perfect. Actually, wouldn't write, hey, I made this failure today and I made that mistake today, but we say, hey, I had such a great holiday and look at that sunset and look how beautiful I look like. That's what we are presenting there. We believe that we have to be perfect to be loved.
And then you go on to talk about tentatio, meditatio, and oratio as being components of Lutheran identity. Can you again maybe explain what you mean by that and how that helps us get out of this curved in on ourselves nature?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is what Luther identifies at what Christian life is based on. So that is prayer and reading the scriptures and living and experience afflictions. So that is what he identifies, and he says that is making a Christian being a Christian. And actually those are three areas, three realms, three things you can do, which really stand against the tendency of acceleration. If you take time to pray, if you take time to read in the Bible, then you really have time which is different than the time you spend usually. It's not time where you need to get something done, but it's time where you have time that God speaks to you. And even the experience of affliction, that life is harder than you would wish that it would be, is then an experience where you get an idea how God is dealing with you and which leads you back to scripture. So even if you say, hey, God, where are you? Why don't you help? Then Luther says, you won't find the answer in what you experience, but you will find the answer in the Bible. And you find the answer actually in what Jesus Christ has done for you. There you know how much God loves you. And that is much more true than what you experience and where you might doubt if God is really on your side. Yes, he is, because he gave Jesus Christ for you and your sins.
You talk about how we have to get things done in our culture. Perhaps it's the opposite in prayer and in reading. It's not us getting stuff done, but it's God doing stuff to us.
Exactly. And I think that's something we have to rediscover, because sometimes Christians say, hey, I must read in the Bible, or I must pray, or I must pray more, or I must pray harder, or whatever. But it's not about what we are doing there. It's not about us being busy with reading the Bible or praying. But it's really, as you say, it's all about God. It's about what God does. When we are praying, God is also talking to us. When we are reading the Bible, God is talking to us through his word. So it's all about us and not about our greatness or our little efforts. It's all about him.
And then the next thing you talk about is, and I love this one. This was, I thought, really wonderful and made me think very, very deeply, well, at least as deeply as I can think. But you talk about Lutheran identity deals with the complexities of theology. Again, can you explain about that and why that's important and why that may actually be a great bridge to deal with culture today?
Exactly. I mean, the longer I think about that, the more important it becomes to me as well. Because I really think Lutheran theology is often holding different ideas together. I mean, a good example would be the theology of the Holy Supper. I mean, it would be an easy solution to say, hey, we receive only bread and wine in Holy Communion. That would be an easy answer. Everybody would understand that. And even the other answer, the traditional Roman Catholic answer, is kind of easy to understand, that something has absolutely changed and it is just Jesus' body and blood in the Holy Supper. And Lutheran theology says, hey, it's even more complex. It's both bread and wine and the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true body and blood of our Jesus Christ. So two things are at the same time too. And there are different other topics in Lutheran theology. For example, that we say, hey, we are justified. We are justified by faith. And on the other hand, we are still sinners. And if you say we are only just, it's not true. And if you say we are only sinners, it's not true either. So it's always thinking about those complexities. And I think in our society, we are tending to the trend that we try to find easy answers for difficult questions. And that leads us often into a wrong direction. And I think it could really be helpful to learn from Lutheran theology to see complex situations as complex as they are.
And one of those other complex issues is the bondage of the will or the freedom of the Christian. Again, and you say that marks out Lutheran identity. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Obviously, something which is very popular today is talking about freedom, what we should do and what we could do, and everybody decided on what we should do. But actually, that is not really the concept of freedom of Lutheranism. But Luther finds a very fine way between that we can't decide anything and that we can decide everything. And actually, he explains that in his writing on the freedom of a Christian, when he says, on the one hand, the Christian is a free lord and has to obey to nobody. And on the other hand, a serving servant. And this is, or seems to be, paradoxical, but it is once more a very lucid description of how Christian life looks like.
And again, when he talks about our wills are bound, what is he talking about? And what does he mean? We're Lord of all things.
So he says, it's nothing. I mean, when I was talking about that in our society, it's all about what we can do. And if we are not efficient enough, probably we lose our job or we lose our feeling of being somebody. And Luther says, no, we are free of all that. And we can really be confident that everything is dealt with by Jesus Christ, what is important for our lives. So we are free, but we are not free to do whatever we want to do and to harm other people. But the freedom is the freedom which lead us to be there for other people, to serve them, to support them, and to do how God has designed this world, that we live together in peace and support.
And I think that leads nicely into your last point, Dr. Barnbrock, that we can face the challenges and things in our post-Christian culture with absolute confidence in God. Can you talk about how that really ultimately shapes our Lutheran identity?
Yeah, sure. Actually, this seems to be a big point for me, because sometimes I get the impression that when I talk to other people, other Christians, that they lose their confidence and they say, hey, we are getting less and less, our congregation shrink, and what should we do? And some people try to take all their efforts, all their strength to get things done, and to say, hey, if we believe harder, or if we get things better, or if we hold tighter to tradition, then all the problems will be solved. And I don't think that this is the right solution, but the right solution would be, also in that situation in which we live, in the way to the post-Christian context, that we believe in Jesus Christ and that we trust in Him, that He will lead His church. That is the only solution of all our problems. And He will lead us His way. And we can be confident, because He is the Lord of the whole world, and He will provide for us what we need.
Dr. Christoph Barnbrock, thank you so much for helping us to understand the world in which we live a little better, and also helping us to understand our Lutheran identity much better, and encouraging us to remain confident in our Lord. We pray God's richest blessings upon you and your family, upon the work you're doing there at the Hochschule in Oberursel, and please pass on our greetings to all of our friends in the Zelk. And thank you for being our guest.
Thank you so much. I will do so, and it was a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.